Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Tuesday, the 14th of July, 2020. I'm Mick Hurley. Today, we're going to start with a quick look at sell-side analysts and the impact they're having, particularly on the buy now, pay later segment of the market, which is a huge section of the Australian market these days, particularly in the growth space. The analyst coverage has been declining consistently since the introduction of MiFID II, or Markets and Financial Instrument Directive, which is an EU regulation that's been in place for a few years now in Europe, which means that you can't use commissions on equity sales in to fund research. It has to be a separately funded item. So that's obviously had a huge impact on sell-side sales desks, where most of their a lot of their research revenue has dried up. We're seeing a lot of desks close and less analysts covering companies. The AFR ran a story this weekend on sort of the number of companies that have stale coverage on the Australian Stock Exchange, and it's it was over 50. The reason why I bring this up is, what impact is that having on the buy now, pay later, where we're having largely, fewer analysts and, dare I say it, more junior analysts covering these names, when, as we've seen, like with Morgan Stanley last week upgrading their rating on Afterpay to $101, we saw a huge rally in the name. So we're definitely seeing, although analysts may be becoming fewer and maybe less experience, the cheaper junior grads coming in, maybe having more of a role, their impact on market pricing is as profound as ever. And where will that lead us? The AFR mentions that potentially it could be quant funds that use momentum and sentiment to determine, to trigger trades in their sort of algorithmically driven funds, and that's helping exacerbate these sort of large price movements with broker upgrades and downgrades. Ultimately, I guess it does, if this is really having an impact, then it does sort of bring back into the fray the impact of active management and the value that can generate. If we're seeing sort of increased knowledge being able to drive prices, so we may see more buy-side research desks flesh out and grow as a result of this. Okay, moving now to JobKeeper. The federal government wage subsidy scheme is due to end in the middle of September, which is only a couple of months away. There is talk, the Prime Minister has mentioned, that he does have a plan for further measures beyond this date. He has mentioned that it's not going to be state specific, so us here in Victoria will not get special treatment. So I thought I'd sort of do a bit of a touch on what other economies are doing around the world. Interestingly, in the UK, we know they sort of preempted Australia and introduced a furlough scheme that has sort of maintained the worker employer relationship, similar to what we have here. In Germany, they have a Kurzarbeit scheme, which in normal times doesn't bond employees to their employer, but at the moment it is. In France, they also have a furlough scheme, which covers more than four-fifths of French wages, but they're looking at moving towards a more sort of universal unemployment insurance. So in Europe, there's some analysts, including in The Economist, saying they're concerned that it's the structure of a lot of the schemes, which are similar to the JobKeeper, are focused on maintaining these relationships with employers, when a lot of businesses may not need those employees going forward, or those businesses as well may, be zombie-like companies that may not really need, do not make an economic rationale to exist without all these government supports. So yeah, there's definitely sort of something we can look at here in Australia. Where is this JobKeeper the way it's currently structured? And I hope the Prime Minister is looking at that now. Is there a better way to ensure that people still have the confidence to go out and spend and to be able to pay their mortgages, but not be tied into unproductive and somewhat destructive relationships? Interestingly, in the US, the April household incomes were 12% above their level only a year earlier. And that's even as joblessness reached its highest level since the Great Depression. We've also seen the Economist reports that their poverty rates have fallen since Corona's reared its ugly head. And so in America, people are having their unemployment insurance topped up by $600 a week. And that they raise the concern that having that sort of stimulus lapse when the unemployment's so high could be very, very destructive. And they mentioned that 3/4 of claimants are making more from benefits than they did from working, which is something we've seen here in Australia, where particularly those casual employees that may have only had a 3-hour shift but have been employed for over a year, they still get the full $1,500 a fortnight, even if they're only earning, let's say, $300 a week before this was implemented. There's lots of room for change now. In the early days, the priority was to just get the money out there, get the sort of almost helicopter money out there, just to keep confidence up, consumer spending up. And now I think is a great opportunity for us to learn from elsewhere in the world to really bring about a more effective, you know, Australia is renowned for its efficient welfare, where it's directed to those who need it most. And hopefully this will be a change for the better here in Australia. And moving to the markets now, New York has just opened. We're seeing the NASDAQ up 1.2%, the S&P is up 75 basis points, with the small cap not up much, only 34 basis points. So it's looking like another big cap tech-led rise today. This week we have reporting season in the US, so that will be interesting to see some sort of real numbers come in for the last quarter. The big banks in the US, like the JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, are reporting first this week. Back here in Australia, where we've got the NAB Business Confidence Survey numbers for June coming out later this morning. And that is your early finance briefing for Tuesday. Have a great day. This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.